played this opening just for you, Fish.
First time we did it, I was scared to death. She snuck out in that cotton dress.
Uh-oh.
Jumped on in and we drove to the lake. Put her hand on my knee and said, I can't wait. I had everything we needed in the bed of my truck. Turns out my baby loves to fish. She wants to do it all the time. Early in the morning, in the middle of the night. She's hooked, and now she can't get enough. Man, that girl sure loves to fish.
That was for you, Mr. Fish.
Well, thank you. That's a good one there. That's the truth of it.
Craig Campbell, and everybody go and buy that song. I mean, it, great song. My baby loves to fish, but Craig Campbell, you know, go out and find it on one of those, you know, internet sites and download.
Absolutely.
And pay for it and, you know, buy that guy's music.
iTunes.
Great stuff. Yeah, iTunes. That's how you there do you it. Go. God, am I old. Everything all right, Steve?
Yeah.
Okay. And, so, Mr. Tom Fisher, charter boat captain extraordinaire, man of the world, and his baby loves to fish.
That's right. So, that's right.
What's been up, buddy?
Boy, I tell you, it's been a shaky month so far with the weather. We've had some ups and downs and turnarounds. And
you know, Rhett was just in here a little while ago. I just did a show with Rhett.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, Rhett. And we were talking about, man, to go from December.
80 degrees.
Just, I mean, it was pure Florida in December. I mean, God, it was wonderful.
It was.
And then all of a sudden,
bam.
Man.
Well, if you're going to have a winter sometime, so, you know.
Yeah.
February, you get, what, 20-something days of winter this year? So, we'll be all right.
Yeah.
We'll make it.
We'll live through it.
We'll live through it.
Now, are you noticing what's been happening with the fishing and this freshwater mix? Are you noticing the fresh water, what's going on with it?
Here's what I do. It's huge. There's all kinds of controversy. There's all kinds of different opinions and hypotheses and this and that. What I tell people is, if I give them my phone number. My phone number is area code 941-628-4687.
Yeah, and it's almost identical to mine.
If you care enough about a certain thing that's going on, whether it be the red tide, whether it be the freshwater mix, whether it's Laco or fish sizes or what we're doing here and there, and I say if you care enough to ask, you know, that call me up and I'll give you my opinion and we can talk. We'll talk about it. But to throw it out there, things get changed and misinterpreted, and
no one knows what's going on with it.
Nobody knows.
Now, if your burnt store line between Cape Hayes and Burnt Store Marina North, the Coosahatchee is not affecting us.
Uh-oh.
It does not come into play in the Upper Harbor. Everybody's going, well, they're doing this from the Coosahatchee and it's doing all that. Sorry, boys and girls, that has nothing to do with us.
Well, here's where I disagree.
104 miles of Peace River and you got 80 some miles of Myakka River all dumping in at the top of the harbor. 90% of the water that comes in
water-wise, I agree 100% with what you're saying. But the bait that feeds that mouth of that and feeds up into the rivers is going to get pushed off and pushed out and around, like we saw 2 years ago with it going to Sarasota and going down to Chokoloskee and Naples Bay, and we didn't get any bait in. Because the salinity wasn't right and things were wrong.
The salt, the red tide, all that kind of stuff.
It
all comes into play. But everybody's all worried about what the Coosahatchee's doing in the Lake Okeechobee dump when they're in Port Charlotte, Punta Gorda, Pirate Harbor.
Oh, we're catching fish up here. The bottom line is there's fish in Charlotte Harbor, and
we don't have red tide up here. We have too much fresh water.
Exactly.
You're not going to get red tide up in the Upper Harbor from Cape Hayes North. It's not coming here.
Well, we got two hoses blowing out fresh water, and it's holding it out. It's not going to come up into the harbor.
Well, it kills red tide.
Sure.
The one thing that instantly kills red tide is fresh water.
Yes.
It has to have salt water live. And it's basically a floating type algae. It will suspend in the water column, but usually if it's a calmer time, you know, like the wind is what pushes it and gets it down into the water column more, in my opinion. I don't know for sure.
Well,
but it's a suspending floating particle, and it wants to come up towards the surface. So,
well, both of them have seen it up into the harbor, but the problem with it is you have to have a storm. You have to have something to push it to get it up in here. You have to have a storm.
Right.
And without a storm, it won't. It doesn't come above the Cape Hayes, Burnsville Marina line.
If we don't have, if we get a whole bunch of rain and it flushes it out, gets all that fertilizer out, all the nitrates, and all the stuff that fertilizer does, and sets off a red tide bloom, and then quits raining, then we can get red tide.
Sure,
because all of a sudden now we don't have our freshwater buffer.
You turn the hose off.
And it the incoming tide can bring it in, and I've seen it a few times over the years, but this year the rain never stopped, so there's no way for it to come up.
We have so much water and flooding our way. But we have water everywhere.
Yeah, Coosahatchee, Peace River, Myack River, all dumping fresh water into there. No, it's not doing any good, and that's what actually causes the red tide. Because if it brings all those stuff down and makes the red tide bloom. But what I'm curious about is the last time something like this happened was 1998 in the last big El Nino. I don't remember it before, after. I went through a whole bunch of different records because I was saying, no, this had never happened before, but I was wrong. It did happen in 98.
Yes.
And the problem is I don't remember much about it.
And I didn't either. And what I did and what I do is when I get home every day off a charter, I write down where I was, where I went, the tides, the temperature, and what I did, you know, so I know. And after, the same thing as you paint a picture on 100 pieces of paper and you flip it fast, you can see the movie. Well, if you read over the 30 years that I've been doing it, if you read that, you can watch your fish travel.
Right.
And you can see your weather and you can see what happens and what happened, and it happens over and over and over again. And what they're doing, that I find what they're doing, is they're going to a lot of creek beds. They're getting off the flat. Your flats are getting them to be the what I call it, and what I use as the flats, are becoming deserts right now, and they're getting deeper up in, and they're hanging and they're moving a lot. They're going in and out, and they're staying around the barrier islands, the outside islands.
Right.
And I guess what they're doing, they have to feed. So I imagine they're going out on the tide and feeding and getting right back, and then they're kind of just hovering because the water temperature is cool.
It's been in the high 50s and mid 50s.
Yes, it's been cool. So they're not moving a bunch. They don't have to eat a bunch. You know, they're in that winter mode.
Now, you stopped in the store to get some shrimp, and I ambushed you to come in here and do that. You know, everybody's going, where would I go find white bait? And all of us are kind of going, well, I don't, A, I don't think you'll find it, but B, why would you want to?
Exactly. They're not chasing it. You know, pinfish, there's certain things you can do. You know, you can cut them. You can use them as cut bait. You can trim them up to where they can't go anywhere and they're still fluttering in the vibration.
The redfish Sunday, where you take a pinfish and put the jig head through them and toss them out on the bottom, and then when predator comes by, he freaks out and kind of makes a lot of noise.
Sure.
Now, some of the guys are doing that with shrimp, just kind of hooking them through the middle, putting them on a jig head, and not really head hooking or tail hooking, kind of in the middle, so that when a predator comes by, they try and fight and make some extra noise. But it's pretty much a shrimp event right now.
Well, it's wintertime. It's crustaceans. It's your small crabs around your oyster bars. You know, the redfish are they should be tailing. They should have tailed last month, but they're really starting to get up there now on your flats. They're starting to move rocks around. They're starting to get down to the little bitty crabs and your shrimp, move them around.
Yeah, and now, are you going to call incoming or outgoing tide a little better right now?
I am going to call, well, it depends on what you're after. If you're after redfish, for me, personally, right now, you're incoming. Dead low incoming. Puts all your little rats in the hole.
Gotcha.
So they're there, and they've been there. They've all gotten to it. It's gotten to be dead low tide. And as your tide comes in, you got your sweep. You can sweep your stuff through it, and they're already there.
Right.
So your rat reds and redfish, period, I like the incoming right now. Now for your trout, I like the outgoing because they're out on the flat and they're going up and down and looking. This is the time of year to where we should start seeing your pompano.
You know, the only thing I can say is the red tide is kind of intermittent. It's coming and going, coming and going. It blooms up big and kind of goes away, and blooms up big and kind of goes away. If the pompano come by and the red tide's at a low point, you know, background and they come into the harbor, then the red tide goes, they get trapped up here.
Yes.
But the opposite can happen. We can miss them because if they're coming by and that red tide's hitting, they're going to veer out around it.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to try and get their way away from that red tide.
Absolutely.
And, you know, so this could be a real iffy pompano season for us. Now, are you seeing any spade fish out there?
I haven't seen usually your markers, if you're throwing for bait this time of year, trying to get some early bait or something, you'll see them. I haven't been doing it, but I mark them. I look at the Jeep, the bottom finders. I go around, see what kind of activity is down there. And there's nothing really of great mass or anything on the markers. And they should be a cloud.
Yeah.
And if you throw on it, you can't pull your net in because solid spade.
Because they're kind of pretty good indicator. Not a lot of people fish for them here.
Sure.
But we get gazillions of them in every year.
Sure, absolutely.
And the Alligator Creek Reef, Cape Hayes Reef, Tugboat Reef, Danger Reef.
And it's a 50-50 on that because, I'm looking at the lot. That's great that you brought that up. If you look at the different species, you can always kind of tell what your species you're after is doing because of what the other species are doing. So you don't actually have to see your species on your ear, what you're talking about, the spade fish. Now, same thing, I have seen an abundance. I mean, maybe 3 and 4 times more than I've seen this time of year of cow nose rays.
Really?
There, I ran across day before yesterday or a couple of days ago what it was. It was just sheets of them, thousands up in the harbor. And then February, I usually don't see where I saw them at. I usually don't see them until later, late March.
You know, I'm surprised with the cow nose. I mean, because there's so much fresh, cold water.
Massive amount.
I would have thought the cow nose would have been hauling butt south.
Well, maybe they got trapped on a bloom or something. That's what I'm saying. It's really iffy because you have this and you're like, well, that's a great indication that you got a great salinity line here.
Yeah.
Because where you find your cow nose, you're going to find a lot of stuff. You're going to find your sharks. You're going to find your cobias. You're going to find your mackerel. You're going to find trout.
Absolutely.
I mean, they all live with them. So to see the great big clouds of them out there, and 3 or 4 of it, just I ran through them for 20 minutes.
Wow.
And
that's an amazing sight, isn't it?
And I was like, holy cow, this is going to be awesome. And then on the same thing, yeah. The water's fresh, and it was like 61 degrees. I'm like, whoa.
Well,
how's this working?
You're going to be at the tent sale.
Absolutely.
You're going to be here helping out at the tent sale. And Buster from Clusa Cast Nets, Cracker and Clusa Cast Nets, they're coming to the tent sale this year. They're going to be doing cast net demonstrations. And he's got some nefarious scheme for giving some great discounts and specials and deals on cast nets. So it's going to be kind of cool to find out what Buster's up to. And so you're going to... People are going to be getting some great deals and giving Castnet lessons and all that. But kind of the point of, you know, talking about Buster was him and I were both talking about some of the really cool things that happen when you throw a Castnet. Because when you go around marker two, you're throwing a Castnet and all of a sudden you come up with what would be the cool thing. Let's see if you're on kind of our same page.
What would be the cool thing?
Yeah. What's the coolest thing? Would you especially around marker two, it happens.
On marker two, loaded with bait.
Yeah, well, that would be the best thing. We were talking seahorses.
Oh, seahorses. I get them on the flats a lot. You get them marker two.
Yeah, marker two is where I get them. I get them on the flats occasionally, but I find more at marker two than most other places. Not very long. You get a month or two out of the year.
You know what the coolest fish I think I get in my cast net is the box fish. He's really colorful.
Oh, the spiny box fish?
The really hard box
fish. And he's got the flat face.
Yes,
he just
very
looks
flat.
Ridiculous.
But he's really pretty.
Oh, they're cool.
Really,
in fact.
Really turquoise blue and the reds in
they
them.
They got the spikes sticking all up. Yep. They look like they'd be really dangerous, and they're just...
Yeah, they can't even hardly move.
Yeah, they're just dope. I mean...
But they're hard as a rock.
Yeah.
The whole fish.
It's kind of like a cross between a puffer and a cowfish,
yep.
You know?
Yep.
But it's square and ridiculous looking.
Yep.
I mean, they're just...
They're really cool, though.
And it's huge eyes.
Huge.
I mean, nature plays some weird tricks on
he
some
does.
Species, man. That poor fish.
And he's so brilliantly colored. I mean, he's just, the colors are so beautiful in him. And it's in Charlotte Harbor in black water. He looks like a Key West coral reef fish.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And he's up in Charlotte Harbor.
Yeah, it's just, that's what I'm saying. You know, and to hear us guys, you know, you see us, we're all, you know, I mean, we're all kind of rough and tumble. I mean, we're outdoor people, you know, and it's not what you would expect, you know. And here we are talking about these cool, just amazing looking things. It's like we're 12 years old again, you know. I don't know. It's just one of those little dualities.
You gotta enjoy the small things and the things like that.
The little things, you know. And it's just funny because you'll get something like that, like a seahorse or a spiny boxfish or, you know, one of these other ones. And watching people just, you know, delicately remove them and get them out and make sure they're not hurt. And
sure.
The holding of them and all that kind of stuff. It's just so cool. Anyway, back to the fishing. One of the things that's going on right now is having to move to find fish a lot.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you kind of go, I think you're going to go to the place you hope they are, and then...
your next 15.
And then just keep working your way down the different plans.
You know, one of the oldest rules that that I go by still today, you don't leave fish for fish. So, saying that, today when I go out, I'll hit a hole, and I'm going to target... the deeper mangroves, and when I mean deeper mangroves, not exactly deep water with mangroves, but where there's a long shelf underneath it. If there's 10 foot of water underneath the mangroves before the actual land, that's what I'm looking for, depth in the mangroves sticking out over the water.
Right.
It could be a foot. That's fine. But I'm looking for a lot of cover like that. I'm going to start there. And I'll work some creek mouths and some bends and some creeks and things like that. But that's where I'm going. Mangroves with a lot of overhang, I'm going to start there. If I start hitting something, I'm not moving. I'm putting the stick in bed. I'm like, all right, we're here for a while. You know, when it slows way down, you know, and it's like, okay, we've played this out. Then you move. But this is not a time where you go, hey, you know, we caught three or four redfish. Let's go try this.
Right. No.
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 You better hang with it because you may not catch another fish the rest of the day.
That's very, very true. And anybody who's on fish right now and moves is, is way luckier than me.
Me too.
Because I got to tell you, if I can find something right now, I'm going to hang in there with it.
That's
for a while.
Right. We're gonna bounce around till we start catching something. Then once we catch them, we're gonna have fun with them, and we're gonna catch them, and then
we'll see what Lady Luck brings after that.
That's right.
You're kind of, this is where skill, experience, and luck all come into the factor, and the skill is knowing what to do in the water conditions, and I think the willingness to change and adapt and do 3, 4, 5 different rigs to try and figure out if the fish are willing to bite in one form or another.
Oh, absolutely. If you go out there with just a hook and a sinker and say, look, this is how I'm fishing today, yeah, your probability is going to go way down. Yeah, I mean, I believe in luck, and luck is a huge part of my business and my life, but I also believe in you make your own luck, and a big part of it. So, I mean, if you could put a jig head that rattles, if you could put a sinker, a split shot, and a hook, you got a popping cork, and you got three people on your boat fishing, put everybody on something different. And if one hits, what do? Everybody jumps on it. So now everybody's using the popping cork, or everybody's using the split shot. I throw the boat at them, and then we kind of narrow it down to what they're doing the best with and with what, and continue on.
Yeah, but that's, you
and
know,
that spot could be that way. The next spot, they could be the exact opposite on something different.
And that is the hardest thing to come around, and is that, and if you're listening to the show, I mean, obviously you are listening to the show, otherwise you wouldn't be hearing if you're listening to the show, but that's what we're all saying, and everybody's saying the same thing right now. Experiment, experiment, experiment. Try, you know, you got to try floats, then popping corks, and then free line, and then sinkers, and then, you know, because there might be fish there, you're just not fishing the right way yet.
Exactly. That's 100% true. There is no perfect boat, and there's no perfect rig. You got to adapt to what you're doing. And the more that you can adapt, the more things you have to adapt with, the better off you are. You know, you need everything. You need a size 1 circle, and you need a size 2 circle. You need split shots of different weight. You need popping corks. And soft plastic. Sometimes the fish are there, and I can get the shrimp to the sand hole.
I was just collecting your pictures and your logo, putting up your links.
But so they'll blow out that sand hole after you catch the one. But they're in the grass around it. But I can't bring that shrimp and that hook back through that. So what I'll do is I'll throw on a plastic shrimp. And now I make them weedless. Or a weedless jerk shad. And then you come back through there and you can get them out of there.
This is everything that people, you know, everybody kind of falls into habits. And that's the worst thing when the fishing's like it is right now, is a habit can hurt you.
Oh, yeah.
A habit can really tear you up.
Yes.
And it's going outside the box. Rhett came up with a great one. I don't know. I guess I could talk about it. He did it on the radio.
I'm going to in 30 minutes.
Yeah. Ask him. He put a Miradine under a popping cork.
There you go.
I never would have thought of it.
But he tried it, and it must have worked.
Yeah, he was doing it for snook. He was using the 14, and I think, you know, the 14 size, the little tiny one.
Right.
Under a popping cork. He's popping it like crazy, and then stop. And then when it would fall down like it's a passed out, you know, drunk bait fish, just falling to the bottom, he said it was really hard to get a hookup. But that's the kind of thinking that's going to get you over and above.
Sure. That's the difference between going out with popping corks and throwing them out there and putting them in the rod holders and
But it's just like
them.
You. When you're out there fishing on that flat, you can't get that live shrimp there. Weedless up a fake shrimp and work it through that grass. It's understanding that if you can, okay, this is a situation I have. This isn't going to work. How do I make it work?
Exactly. You have to make it work.
That's what brought it to my mind was you're sitting there telling me, well, you know, I'm doing this live shrimp there, and I can't get it to go through the grass. So I take out my, DOA shrimp, and I put that on, or my gulp shrimp, and put that on, rig it weedless, and I can work that through that grass to get it into that pothole to get that redfish to bite.
Absolutely.
And sometimes you just can't do it with a real shrimp, so you got to switch to the fake bait.
Absolutely.
And sometimes the fake bait ain't going to do it. You got to go back to the real bait.
And sometimes you got to work your real bait through there, you know, put a sinker, a split shot, maybe an inch or so above your shrimp, and then put a popping cork on it too. So you can still pop it and bring it through and let it sit, but you can still snatch that weight up instead of dragging the weight. You bounce the weight, you know.
As you pop it, it kind jerks that shrimp up off the bottom and lets them settle back down again.
A really, really light split shot. Just enough to make it sink down there to hold on top of the grass. And then when you pop it, it snaps it up, and then he sinks again. Same thing you're doing with your artificial.
Yeah, but I mean...
But now you've got live. So, I mean, but faster with the artificial. He'll hit that, you can cast that faster, and you're not using bait.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's... You got to try it always. I mean, that's a great idea Rhett came up with the Miradine and doing it. And you know what? He must have sat there one day so frustrated and said, you know what? And he tried it, and it worked. And that's the difference of somebody that's actually 100% throwing the boat at him and making something work. And that's why Rhett's so good. I mean, that's because he does stuff like that.
You're the same, but we... You know, there's a lot of us, but, you brought up the one thing that it threw me into coughing spasm here, you know, picturing Red out there so frustrated.
Oh, I've been there.
This year, and
I'm there a lot.
I'm the bite of all I'm going to do it. I mean, just, okay, I'm going to put this darn, Miradine under a popping cork, you know.
Can you imagine what was going through his head when he figured that one out? And then after he figured it out and it worked, he's probably just as confused. Now he's a great captain. I mean, but he does stuff like that, and that's why he's so good. Because you don't just give up and say, "Well, I couldn't catch him." He'll find a way.
Honestly,
and that's what you have to do.
But that's you and Rhett, and we have several really good captains like that, and you're definitely amongst them. But I just think it's so the entertainment because
I'd have paid we're all good to be friends. On that boat.
I'm just thinking like you. I would have paid money for that video, his face with us, and you finally hit on that. Yeah. I didn't think about that before, but I love Rhett to death. But that is funny.
It is.
So anyway. So, any kind of good guesses, benefits, hardball, best advice for what's going on out there? Captain Tom Fisher of Fishbone Charter.
Well, I don't know. number one thing is if you haven't done a lot of fishing this time of year, this wouldn't be a bad investment to take a guide, to take a good guide, because you're going to see him doing stuff that he's perfected and he's tried.
Or that he never knew he ever wanted to do.
But he was so frustrated that he's really trying, you know. So you can learn a lot. In hard times, you learn.
One of Billy's customers said the other day, and it was yesterday, and he was saying, you know, we got out there, we caught this redfish, and then nothing. And he said, and he was talking about Billy. I mean, I guess Billy was pacing the boat back and forth and going through. He said, man, that guy was really working at it. He really worked. He said, we did find some trout and some other stuff. You know, they had a pretty good day fishing. But all of the guys that, you know, like you and Rhett and everybody and all that, it's just so funny because I remember doing it, standing on the boat there, and you got the lines out, you know the fish are there, everything's there, and nothing's going to work, and you're just going bananas, going back and forth, trying to figure out, because you know you can do it. It's just,
absolutely.
Are you going to get that moment of inspiration that puts it over the top?
Well, and I tell you, it just happened to me the other day, and we do it. Every now and again, we do chum with shrimp. We had a really good current. Where we were in a ditch. I was with Matt Haig, and I don't know if I can prop him or not. Matt Outdoors.
What's the difference? I like Matt.
Yeah,
Matt,
I am
friends.
I think it's Matt Outdoors. Anyhow, Matt. He was out. Me and him were sitting in the creek
Matt's
mouth
done
together.
Shows with us.
Doubles.
I was just talking about Matt with Sandy, who does that kids tarpon tournament out
sure.
of Boca Grande.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you can talk about anybody you want.
No,
to talk
Matt's
about.
great, Kevin. But we were sitting the other day. Actually, I have a double with him today. So we were sitting in the mouth of the creek, and we were fishing, and we both were catching, and then it kind of slowed down. It was one of those things where we're looking at each other, going, "Oh boy!" And then we're both trying different things, so we're both easing, you know, to our stuff and doing different stuff. And it's a big mouth, so we have plenty of room. And we're fishing. And it got to where, okay, it's time to move. You know, we've played this out or whatever. And I don't know, I think Matt had some shrimp on his deck that they laid up there, you know, to, mm-hmm. to put it on there. So he just grabbed them and threw them out, you know, because we're both packing right. up to leave. And I believe it was a trout, but it hit it. Bam! And we both stopped instantly and looked at each other. We both grabbed up a little four or five shrimp and chucked them out. Bam, bam! And we've done that for years. You know, years mm-hmm. and years we've chummed with them. I mostly
chunk pieces.
Yeah, pieces chunked up on the flat in a hole to get something coming.
Right. I'll take a knife and literally dice up. You
absolutely.
Know, I'll pull whatever dead shrimp are off the bottom and dice them up, put them in my bat, and sling them over on an area.
Absolutely. But it was a frustration. It was like, okay, goodness. You know, it was one of those things that he just chunked them off the boat because they were up there and they were right. dead and they were dried out. So he just chunked them out there and one hit one. Next thing you know, we're both chumming and then we went to catch it again. We caught some trout and some other stuff, some snapper, and I think actually some redfish again. But you know, something like that.
Yeah.
I didn't think to do it at that moment, and not that we haven't done that. Everybody hasn't done it. It was just something.
But
it was funny because when that one hit, we both stopped and looked at each other.
All right.
Let's start this all over again.
Yeah.
You know?
One more try.
Hold on, guys.
Yeah. So. But that's what I'd say. The most fun thing about all this is, you know, you spend all this time learning, and then sometimes it's that miraculous accident.
Yes.
You know, it's
that's
that
your luck.
Magic moment that, for no apparent reason, it's all on, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I got lost one day, and, you know, embarrassing to say it, I turned in the wrong bay. No idea where I was. But completely unwilling to look stupid at that moment. You know, I'm pretty secure now. I can say, I mean, I was literally lost. I turned into the bay and looked, and I have no idea where I am. And my clients on the boat are going, well, what are we going to do here? Right around this corner, we're going to fish right up in there. You know, there's a little bit of a bay right there we're going to fish. Turned out there was a little creek in there, and tide was going in, and it was pushing water up in that little opening, and I didn't know it was a creek until later. But I put some threw some shrimp up at it, threw a bait fish in there, nothing. So I put a float on and just started open the bale and drifted a bait up in there. And we got 6 or 8 of the most beautiful redfish out of there you ever saw. I mean, it was just staggering.
You know, that's fish. A great point, too. If people would do that more, the harbor would be a lot cleaner and your bushes would be a lot cleaner. You see a lot of popping corks and stuff that are in the woods, you know, hung in the trees and whatnot. Mm. And I know they do Charlotte Harbor cleanup and things like that, but it's great. But if you can position your boat in the current where it's taking it to the woods, you know, it doesn't matter if it's outgoing or incoming, it's going to be pushing it down. Yeah. If you could throw your bobber or your cork and your bait to where it floats and it goes up underneath there, well, you're on. You're going to catch better fish.
Well, the big thing for me was I knew if I snagged in a tree, I had to get it back.
And you had to tie it.
And, well, it's not even that. It just makes so much noise with the branches, it spooks the fish.
Sure. Yep. So that, and then you lose your tackle and you lose your gear. It's bad for the environment and the birds. And it's ugly
bad for
everything. When you pull up there next time and there's bobbers in there, and it's just, okay, well, yeah. You know, it doesn't. If you do lose a bobber, please get it out. And two,
And when you're done, go in and get your stuff
exactly,
and go on.
Exactly.
But
I mean,
if you shortcast, the way I would do is I shortcast it
up
there.
Let it float in there. Great
and then
method.
Just open the bale up and literally feed some line in. And I don't give a lot of extra line because I want to be able to steer it. I'll take my rod and pull it to the left or to the right so I can get it steered into there. But literally, it was 10, 15 feet back up in this little opening where those redfish were laying, and there was no way I was casting to it, but it just it worked. Got a lot
of
fish.
You can stay further away from your banks too when you do that.
Yeah,
so your fish though.
So anyway, you got a charter to do.
I got to run.
All right. Tell everybody who you are, your phone number, name of your company, the whole bit.
Okay, I'm Tom Fisher with Fishbone Charters out of Charlotte Harbor here. I do Pine Island Sound and a little bit up north, but mostly general Charlotte Harbor and the beaches. And that my phone number is going to be area code 941-628-4687. Again, that's Fishbone Charters. And
as usual, just click the picture right next to you. I got Tom. We took a picture of him sitting with the headphones on. It's not the most flattering, but I enjoy it.
Oh boy, I haven't seen that one yet.
I mean, it's quintessential laid back Tom. And his logo's right next to you. Click that, take you right to his websites. And Captain Tom, okay, we gotta get a charitable designation major somewhere here. It's okay. All right. Anyway, my friend, I guess we're gonna call this a wrap on the radio fishing. And I hope you guys all have a great time out there fishing. And if you want to find out some crazy and unusual techniques, call a captain right now. You got Tom. Give him a call. Go out and find out some of these crazy and unusual cold weather, fresh water, chilly, sunny afternoon, rainy, coldy. Everything is going on right now. It's a tough time to fish, but the cool part about it is the more you experiment, the better you're going to feel, because you're going to catch fish and still have a good time.
The more you can learn.
The more you're going to learn. So, anyway, Fishing Frank and Captain Tom Fisher, thanks so much for listening. We'll see you in the next Radio Fishing. Bye-bye.